John chapter 13 and verse 15, and this came to me this week, and it's got some really great things in it. John 13 and verse 15, this is Jesus speaking here, "For I have given you an example." Everybody said an example. "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you." Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for your presence that we know is here. Lord, anoint the word of God and speak to our hearts. Touch us tonight. We'll give you praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. When we look up the word example here, it actually means an exhibit or an imitation or a specimen. Amen. It is an example of something. It represents something. And when we look at life, I know most of us understand this. Life is full of examples and exhibits. Amen. And many are the stories of common people that did uncommon things, and even though they are gone from the scene, the influence of their example lives on forever. Amen. It lives beyond their grave. And all of us, I suppose, tonight could think of good examples in our lives, and certainly we could find examples that are not so good. But the truth of it is here tonight, we all lead by example. And we lead by example more than by our word. And we lead by example more than anything else, just by the life that we live. Amen. Good examples are very powerful because good examples are always on a higher plane. And when we make an impression upon someone, they have to look up, amen, to be like you. They have to look up to, and it raises others up higher. Praise God. Not that we're all high and everybody else is low. I didn't mean it that way at all. But we encourage people to go higher and to become better just by our positive, good example. Amen. Thankfully, tonight we have an example that's not human. Amen. We have an example that's God from heaven that came down and robed himself in flesh. Praise God. And, excuse me, as I looked through the scriptures relative to this, I found the word example here. I want you to read that for me, Brother Reed. John 13 and verse 15 again. I want us to have that in our hearts. John 13 and verse 15.
"For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you."
And so Jesus gave us an example. Amen. You just hang on. We'll get to moving here in just a few minutes. Praise God. But there are some things in John chapter 13 there is where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And he did it as an example. Amen. And it was an example of humility. I looked up the word humility. Webster says it is freedom from pride and arrogance. Humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth. Amen. Well, we know that's the opposite of pride and arrogance. Amen. But humility is the freedom from this. And when the Lord came, he did not come in an arrogant attitude. He did not come in pride. But our great God that robed himself in flesh came in humility. Think about that tonight. That's an awesome understanding of the Word of God. and of our great God tonight. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 through 8. I'll give you an opportunity to get there tonight. We're studying the Word here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Brother Reed, read for me tonight.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Praise God. Isn't that a great God that we serve tonight?
Amen.
He is so awesome and so wonderful. Amen. He did not come to condemn or to destroy, but he came to save humanity, and that includes you, and that includes me. Praise God. And so he left us an example of humility. Somebody said humility.
Humility.
Humility. Amen. The Apostle Paul was a great example of this, and he wrote to a young man, a young preacher, Timothy. And if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, let's look at it here just for a moment. Praise God. Timothy 4 and verse 12. Brother Reed, read that for us tonight. And we are going to look at these here tonight because I want to talk to the young people. How many of you are young here tonight? Well, praise God. I'm glad that it's not just the front row I'm going to be talking to. But we love our young people. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've got a number of folks that are not here tonight. But the Lord knows all about that. And I want to talk to these young men that are on the front row. Praise God, because they'll listen to me. At least right now in life, they'll listen to me. All right, so he says, let no man despise thy youth. Now, the rest of you that feel young, this is for you as well. Praise God. Well, let's just include everybody. All right. All right, let's do that. Let no man despise thy youth. Praise God. The youth is a very, very powerful thing. If you will understand the opportunity that you have and grab a hold of that opportunity and do something with your life. And don't wait until you're older, but start right now. Amen.
Amen.
Start right now. It doesn't matter how old you are. Young people are examples. And whether you realize it or not, whether you accept it or not, your life, it speaks volumes. Amen. And it speaks volumes to the adults. You can actually make an impression upon adults and your friends, and especially those that are younger than you. And so young people are examples tonight. Amen. And he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example. Praise God. And all of us youth here tonight, I'm young in my spirit, but my body is wasting away. Praise God. And that's okay, because I'm just going to hang out with the young people, and I love the young people. He said, be a example of the believers in word. Everybody said in word.
In word.
All right, in word. That means what you say and who you say it to. Praise God. Now, I've got a few scriptures I want to read here. Some of them are so practical that we miss them. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Let's look at it real quickly here tonight. Proverbs 26 and 20. And the wise man used some very simple things to bring out some very profound things. Proverbs 26 and 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. How about that? Amen. If you don't put gasoline in your truck, it's going to stop one day. Where there's no wood, where there's no fuel, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Praise God. Now, I'll tell you how to have a wonderful youth group. Amen. I'll tell you how to have an exciting youth group of camaraderie, of fellowship and unity and all of that. Talk about good things.
Amen.
Amen. Just make up your mind you're going to be an example in word. In what you say, because what you say is very powerful. There are many forces today in our world that are against words, and they're even saying now that certain words are against the law, and they're wanting to pass more laws to restrict what we say, and they say that does not apply to the Second Amendment. But I'm thankful we have freedom of speech. Amen. You can speak, but it doesn't mean anybody has to listen to you.
Amen.
Amen. But when we're talking about the kingdom of God and we're talking about the church, words are very powerful. Amen. The spirits of our world today are afraid of words, and so they try to limit words and suppress the words that people speak. Amen. But it is important that we see the power of words and what we say. What you say affects your sister. What you say affects your brother. What you say affects others around you. And so he says, where there is no fire, or where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, even if it is a true tale, amen, that's T-A-L-E, and even if it's a true tale, even if it is the truth, there are just some things that we ought not to say, amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God. There's some things that we really shouldn't be talking about amongst ourselves, amen. We've got so many good things to talk about, praise God. We've got a great God tonight that we can talk about.
Amen.
We've got the Word of God that we can talk about. Amen. We can talk about the positive things of one another. Amen. And somebody asked President Lincoln at one point in time, they asked him what he thought about some other politician. And this other politician had been running him down and saying lies and all sorts of things against him. And when they asked Abraham Lincoln what he thought of this man, he gave a glowing report of all of the good things about the man. And they asked him, they said, well, do you know what he's been saying about you and how he feels about you? And his answer was, you didn't ask me how he felt about me. You asked me how I felt about him. Praise God. There's good in everything around us if we'll just look close enough. Praise God. That doesn't mean we have our heads in the sand, but it is not the will of God that we use our words to hurt. Amen. Romans 14 and verse 19. This is a powerful principle that we can live by. Romans 14 and verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Praise God. And that word edify there means to build up or to strengthen. Amen. God gave us one another. He put all of us into the church so that we can build one another up. As the scripture says, iron sharpeneth iron, and a man will sharpen another man if he has the attitude of edifying. Praise God. We need to be saying good things about one another.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. We need to be strengthening one another. Amen. That's the will of God. And Paul said, young man, be an example. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to do it, but you can do it and be an example, and you can touch somebody else. He said, be an example in conversation. Everybody said conversation. Now, this is the King James that I'm reading from tonight. And the word conversation in English means two people talking, but that's not what it means. It actually means our behavior.
Amen.
Praise God. How many of you on the front row have ever had your parents say, behave yourself? Oh, just a few. Oh, okay, all of them. They got under conviction there. Amen. Conversation means behavior. And it's probably the greatest way to be an example in your life. What you say is important, but what you do should square with what you say. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What you do is very important. Amen. And it's vital. Young people are going to look up to the older young people. And the young people are going to look up to the adults. Praise God. And so how we live our life, the very person that we are, is so very, very important, because whether we realize it or not or accept it or not, each and every one of us are examples. Praise God. Are y'all with me here tonight? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. I've got quite a few scriptures here tonight. As you can tell, we're studying the Word of God. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. You say, well, I'm just a young person. I really don't have a lot to contribute. I disagree with that completely.
Amen.
Proverbs 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Amen. It's not something that you wait until you're adult to be somebody or to be what you want to be. You've got to start when you're young. Amen.
Amen.
Even a child is known by his doings. Amen. Praise God. And so it's important to do what's right when you're young. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, another powerful scripture here. And we're just going to peel the hides off all of these young people here tonight.
Amen.
Hopefully they'll be able to get out of the church after it's over with. Ephesians 6 and verse 2, honor thy father and mother. And somebody could say amen to that.
Amen.
Which is the first commandment. It's not a coincidence that it was the first commandment with promise. That means that it is a commandment, and when you obey that commandment, that there is a promise that is connected with that commandment. And this is a very powerful one. It was the very first one. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. God looks and sees how we treat our mother and our father. And there's no qualifier there. It doesn't say honor your mother and your father if they're right. It doesn't say honor your father and your mother as long as, they're doing everything the way we think they should do them. Amen. It just simply says honor your father and your mother.
Praise God.
Well, praise God. And it's not just a commandment here, it's a principle. And it's a principle of submission. It is a principle of lifestyle. Amen. And in our generation today, we've had parents that are not measuring up to what they should. And, it affects the young people. But I'll tell you tonight, if you can get a hold of this thing of submission and understand that God did not make perfect parents, Amen. And God did not make perfect leaders in your life. Maybe you've got a perfect boss and a perfect job and all of that, but there's probably many here tonight that would disagree with that. There is nothing that is perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
There's no such thing as a perfect mother or father. There's no such thing as a perfect pastor. There's nothing, no such thing as a perfect job or a perfect boss or a perfect authority figure. And the reason is we are all flesh.
Amen.
And so in order for us to keep our spirit right, the Bible talks about honoring those in leadership. Praise God.
Amen.
Because one of these days I've had young people that got an attitude over the years in pastoring, and they complain and have all these reasons why they don't have to obey their parents. And I've told them, in as much love as I can, well, you're not too far from coming of age, and we'll just sit back and watch you and see how we're supposed to do it. You're going to get an opportunity to show everybody how to do it. Amen. And so what we need is submission. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
He goes on and he says, be an example in charity. 1 John 4 and verse 7 and 8. Brother Reed, get that for me tonight and help me out here. 1 John, that's back towards the book of Revelation in the New Testament. All right, you got it?
Amen.
All right.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth
God. God is love. And when we look at this great example of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is love. Amen. Somebody said amen. God is love. And what we need to do is we need to be an example of love.
Amen.
Love one another, for love is of God. If you want to be spiritual, excuse me, being spiritual is more than just talking in tongues. Being spiritual is more than running the aisles.
Amen.
And we do that, and we're excited about that. But I'll tell you what, the way that you are spiritual is that you love one another.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Reed, give me 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to work you here tonight. I want you to read down through verse 25. Because he said, be an example in charity. And let's look at a little bit of charity here tonight. Read for us, verse 19 through 25.
For this is thanks.
Now, I want you to just look at that, what he just read. This is our calling here. It is a calling, amen, to love. Praise God.
Amen.
And it's difficult to love when you've been done wrong. But go ahead and read.
For even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were not as sheep going as you were as sheep, going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Praise God. That's probably one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. because if you're going to live in this life very long, you're going to suffer things that are not right. Amen. And I've had people that I've pastored before that thought that everything had to be fair. Well, let me just tell you tonight, everything doesn't have to be fair.
Amen.
Amen. Love is not something that is like a mutual admiration society where we pat each other on the back and we talk about all of our good things, and that's good and that's part of it. I don't want to be misunderstood here tonight, but the truth of it is we are going to be done wrong at some point in life.
Amen.
I didn't mean to pop anybody's bubble here tonight, but that's the truth. And usually it will happen more than once in your life. And so how do we deal with this? Do we let external things that come against us destroy us? Can we allow those things to bring us down and to destroy our future? I say no, they should not be able to do that. Because we have something that is more powerful than any offense. We have something that's more powerful than any negative force in this world. And the Bible says about it that it will never fail. And you know what that is. It's love.
Amen.
Well, praise God. I didn't get very many amens there, but it's still the truth. Praise God.
Right.
Because He gave us an example. And I would like to ask us tonight, am I better than God? Do I deserve a better way than God chose for himself? The answer, of course, is obvious. It is no. Amen. He gave us an example who, when he was reviled, they tried to get him to say something to trip him up, and he just stood there and didn't say anything. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. And that's how we can love. When we are connected to God, who is love, then we have the ability to love as well. Praise God. And he loved so much that he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And then it brings healing into the situation. Amen. My dear pastor's mother came down with Alzheimer's, Sister Morgan, and it was very acute. And my pastor and his wife, Brother and Sister Stanford, they took her into their home, and she began to get quite irritating. And she would say things that were very, very, they weren't Christian, but she was under the influence of the Alzheimer's. And my pastor's wife, when his mother would say something to her, she would say, "Oh, now, Sister Morgan, you don't believe that. That's all right. I'm not going to be upset with you for saying that to me." And my pastor's wife was such an example of the love of God. Amen. And I think we ought to take that as an example. And I've tried to make that as an example in my life as well. Praise God. And in fact, when he was hanging on the cross and they had abused him and he did not even look like a man, he had been beaten so much that when he looked down at the people that were doing it to him, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Well, praise God. That's exactly what he said. And a lot of things that happen in our world happen by those that really don't understand what they're doing to someone else. And how can we resolve these things? We can resolve them with love. Praise God. In charity, in spirit. And I'm going to finish here shortly. In spirit, that means a current of air. Amen. I would like to say it this way, the enthusiasm and excitement that you have in your life.
Amen.
Praise God. Scripture literally is telling us here, and Paul was telling Timothy, that the example we need to be is one of excitement and enthusiasm. There's nothing worse than coming into an apostolic church where everybody's frowning.
Amen.
Well, praise God. We need to find something to smile about. And when we come to the house of God, there's a lot to smile about.
Amen.
Well, praise God. You say, well, what's so exciting about it? God's here.
Amen. That's right.
The Holy Ghost is here. God's presence is here. Amen. The Word of God is here. My friends and my brother and sister are here. Amen. It's the gateway to heaven. Praise God. I wished I had a camera tonight. I'd just take a picture of all of you out there.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not real sure you're expecting to go to heaven tonight. Amen. But we could end up going to heaven tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. Everybody ought to stand behind the pulpit and preach a message at least once in their life. Praise God. And see some of the looks on faces that we see. Praise God. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. A spirit, a current of air. Amen. The excitement and enthusiasm that's in your heart. Amen. People's going to remember the good spirit that's in you. I know a lady in another church, and she's been through an awful lot in her life. My wife and I were talking to her, and her husband passed away a number of years ago. She's, I believe, 70 or a little bit older, Sister Simpson, and she just is so spry. And so excited and so enthusiastic all the time. Doesn't matter what's going on.